Well, again, good evening to each and every one of you. When the Magi came to Jesus after he was born, remember they brought three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, this Advent season, what I'd like to do is talk or suggest about three other gifts, but this time these are the gifts that the Lord brings to us. Now, I'm not saying these are the only gifts that God has for us, by no means, but I think these three will help us prepare for the Christmas season, which is coming. They'll help us to point to the greatest gift, which we receive at Christmas, which is Jesus, who comes into the flesh, who's born of the Virgin Mary, who will then lie in a manger in Bethlehem. Because that's what Advent is all about. It's to point to Jesus himself, who is our Savior. Now, I would suggest that we think of these gifts as sort of like a secret Santa. I don't know if any of you have ever done this in your places of business, but I know at the hospital where I am right now, every year they always have the secret Santas. And it's sort of like you give a little gift as you warm up to the big gift, which comes later on. Or maybe a better way of thinking of it is like those Advent calendars that we give. Each day, you open up one of the doors and see a little gift. Sometimes it's just a saying, sometimes a picture, and sometimes it's a piece of chocolate for the kids, too. All in anticipation of that final gift that comes on Christmas Day. And so I would suggest that we hear the words of Isaiah and see what the first gift might be today. Isaiah writes from God himself, "Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, 'In the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low, and uneven ground shall become level in the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.'" Now, I have a gift, and I have it up here. I would say this is the first gift that the book of Isaiah, the prophet, suggests to us. Big enough to fit in the box. And for today's gift, it's a blanket. A comforter, you might say, and some people say. And it even says Merry something or other. Merry Christmas, BBC. A lot of things are on here. Merry and bright, this one says. But it's a comforter. It's a blanket. It's something that gives comfort and security to people. Where I work, when people come into the operating room, it's cold, they're feeling nervous, scared. What do? We give them a nice, warm blanket. It helps them relax, helps them make them feel safer. That's what this is meant to do. And this is what, in essence, that Jesus is, or our Lord is telling us in these words from Isaiah himself. This blanket brings comfort and warmth to people here. If you were on an EMT or in a fire department, as I also was, if you would go to a house fire, one of the things they do is they bring out blankets, especially in the winter, and we'd wrap these things around the people because all their stuff is in there going up in smoke. They need something to comfort them. They've been traumatized by the loss of whatever it is they had in that house. It's all gone now. They need something to comfort them. That's what the blanket does. For those who are sick, we give them warm blankets. For those who are lonely and homeless, blankets come out to those people. It's a way to bring some security and letting people know they're cared for and somebody cares about them specifically. The blanket or comforter is our way of looking at what the Lord is doing for you, what he's giving to you. The words of Isaiah that are spoken to us are from God himself. They speak comfort to his people who have undergone some of the worst trials, some of the worst problems, tribulations, losses, and sorrow that they've gone through. You see, Isaiah is talking to the people of Judah. The country of Judah, where the city of Jerusalem was taken over by the Babylonian Empire. Four times the Babylonians would take people out of Jerusalem, four different times. It said that by the time all these exiles were taking place, maybe 10-12% of the population was left in the city. They were all taken away, gone into the land of Mesopotamia. And it wasn't that they just lost their homes or their livelihood. They lost their country. While they were there, they were being forced, in a sense, into becoming something that they weren't. All of this was because they had rebelled against God. These were people who had lived crooked lives. They had lived a life as if they were the rough road, and people were tripping on them all the time, because what they would do is they rebelled against God himself. It was their sinful nature that caused their trouble, even though they didn't realize it all the time. In fact, they were so corrupt, so rebellious, so sinful, that even one of their greatest kings, who lived almost the longest time, a guy named Manasseh, he actually brought the idols right into the church, right into the temple. You could come in here and you worship anybody you want right here. We could have something to Allah. We could have something to Buddha. We could have something to the Hindu gods, Shiva, Vishnu. And we can just, you know, wherever you wanted to worship, come in here. This would be the same thing. Where the name of God was to be placed, the people of Israel had replaced it with other gods. Besides that, they didn't care for the widows or the orphans. They wouldn't sacrifice with faithfulness. Rather, they would take their sacrifices and do it simply because we have to. And now, even making things worse, now you owe us, God. They were so rebellious. They were so sinful. They had forgotten who their God was, who saved them, who gave them a country, who gave them a life, who gave them the promise of his help always. And so they lost everything. God took them into exile. He warred against them. In fact, if you read through many of the parts of the prophets, God even says, I'm against you. I'm warring against you. I'm sending the Babylonians. I'm sending the Assyrians. I'm sending the Persians. They're all coming. They're my instruments. They're going to punish you. They were even encouraged in these other lands now to follow the new religions now that they were gone. People like Daniel and those three men, you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Those were not their real names. Daniel's, that was his Hebrew name. But the other three, those were not their real names. It was Hananiah, can't remember the third ones, but Hananiah, these were their Jewish names. Getting into Babylon, what did they do? They tried to make them new people in Babylon. Become one of us. After all, your God was beaten by our God. After all, your God didn't care about you anymore. Maybe your God doesn't even exist. But our God definitely is bigger, so follow ours. That's what they were forced to do. Become them. Now, nothing is really different to this day. We still live in a culture, in a world that is trying to get all of you, especially our young people, to try to come and go someplace else, to be something different, to deny what you are and become part of the world. Or to say, sin isn't really all that bad. It's just mistakes. It's just errors in judgment. And then go even thinking so far as, well, sin isn't really our problem that we have to worry about. It's because we don't dream big enough. Or we just don't expect more of ourselves in this life. We reject that there's a God. We reject that there is the God that we have ourselves. That's what the world wants us to do. Reject that God because he isn't good. He isn't loving. He doesn't let us do what we want. However, the Lord didn't forget us. He didn't forget those people back then either. Despite our rebelliousness, despite the fact that we were wayward and were crooked, what does the Lord say? He says, I'm not going to forget you. You are my people. I wasn't defeated by any wooden god. I did this on purpose that you had to suffer. I did this so that you would repent, so that you would understand that you needed me, and you can't live following a false, made-up God. That leads only to death. Despite our sinfulness, despite the sinfulness of those in Israel and Judah, God comes through the prophet Isaiah, and he says, say comfort to my people. Twice he says comfort, doubling it, making sure that for all of your sinfulness, all of your punishment, I'm doubling the comfort that's coming because that is what I want to do. That's what God wants to do for each and every one of you. He speaks tenderly to all of us as he spoke to those people in Judea in those days. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Cry out to her that her warfare is over. Her iniquity is pardoned. That's the same for us. This blanket, again, is the comfort of the words of Jesus, the words of God himself who say, your iniquity is taken away. It's gone. And the warfare that we have between us is now over. And that's true because there was warfare between us and God when we were in our unsaved state. We saw God as our enemy, and we fought against him. But now, because of his love, because he loves and cares about you, he has brought you into his kingdom, forgiven you through baptism, forgiven you through the repentance, reminding you of the forgiveness of sins and the Holy Supper that we eat and drink. Because the Lord doesn't desire us to remain in our distressed and miserable state. He wants us to come into eternal life. And so he gives us the gift of a comforter who brings us comfort. And what is this comfort that God speaks to us about? Well, as I said, warfare is over. The warfare between God is over. He fought against his people, but now he's bringing them back home. God is now coming to comfort them with words of forgiveness and grace. And he's coming to them personally, too. He says, I want to be there and take and hold you by your hand. I will be your shepherd. And that's what John the Baptist prepares the people for. He calls them out of the cities. He calls them to come into the wilderness, just as they did years ago as they came from Egypt to the new land, the promised land. Jesus continues that same message of repentance because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm here now, he says. Repent and come and follow me. Make the crooked paths straight and smooth out the roads. Admit your guilt, admit your sin, and realize that I will help you and take it away from you. And no matter how badly you feel about your sin, no matter how gross or terrible it is, I've got a blanket, the blanket of my love to cover you with. The words of comfort are that you are forgiven. God is no longer at war with you. And we know God's no longer at war with us because Jesus came and he suffered and died on the cross. And when he died, he covered our sin. When he died, he paid all the price. And when he died, God's wrath was washed away. And the war was over. Like a blanket covering you with after a terrible experience, the words of God will calm you. When you're uncertain, when you're scared, when you're fearful of what's going to happen in your own life, God's words of comfort cover you and warm your heart and give you the security and the promise that you are his children and that all the promises that he has laid before you of forgiveness and eternal life are yours to have. Because you see, we can all use a comforter. We can all use Jesus. Because every one of you has had some type of a trial or a problem or a trauma or sorrow this past year. We've all gone through these things. You've had memories of loved ones who have died, And these things sadden you and depress you because of the loss. You have a relationship that's strained or broken. Or maybe you've been less than faithful in your promises to others. You might be lonely, afraid, or unsure of your own future. Your health may be a concern to you or to someone who's dear to you. And you might be ashamed of what you have done to someone else. You see, we have all of these things. Look what sin and its effects have done to you. But the war is over. The punishment has been paid. And the price for sin has been paid for by Jesus. And you are forgiven. For many of us, as they get closer to Christmas, the need for comfort even grows greater. Customary thing is at this time of the year, with the lights, with the trees, with the music and the gifts and the parties, everybody sort of expects we're going to be naturally happy. But what often happens? It's usually the opposite. We get even more ground down because of all the things we place on ourselves, all the burdens we add to our time here. And we have the sadness and the regrets of what we don't have this year versus years before. And then there's the loneliness and depression that many others feel at this time of the year. We all need the Comforter. We all need our Lord Jesus. He'll make you free. He'll give you joyful words. I can't do that. I can't make you with my sermon, my best sermon illustrations or my best and cleverest words make people happy at all. It might be a momentary laugh or a guffaw when you're thinking I did a good job or something like that, but I don't even feel that way when it comes to my own words. The only words that are going to actually bring you joy and happiness and comfort and the assurance of what this season is bringing for you is the words of Jesus himself, the Comforter. The blanket that we can wrap around ourselves, the very Son of God who says that your iniquity is pardoned. Jesus has paid for our sin. He's covered it all. And he has forgiven you. And now he's here to shepherd you through this life until he brings us safely to his own home. Believe these words. Believe the words of the Lord Jesus who comes to you and gives you these things, who gives you himself. Remember some of the things he has said to us. Come, all who labor and are heavy laden, come to me, and I will give you rest. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you do I give. Let your hearts not be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. And he says also, so also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take that joy from you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. These are the words that hold us and ground us and give us the security and the surety and the warmth and the good, the joy that we all really need in this life to get through this life. Jesus is that blanket. He's that warm, comforting, loving God who says these things to us. And you see, the comfort that he gives isn't just his nice words besides that, but it's himself who he gives to us. He gives it to you in his body and blood when you eat and drink of it. And he comes to you in his human flesh, letting you know that you will see him face to face. It's not just a good thought or an idea that was expressed years ago, but it's the real living Jesus who we will see and his words of promise. You have hope and you have peace and you can have love in Jesus himself. He is the Son of God. And he is the Comforter, the blanket we can all share. In his name we pray. Amen.